Good afternoon. Welcome to On Card. I'm your host, Megan Brown. Today is going to be a special edition of On Card. We have in the studio Jennifer Ritter Guidry and John Pud Sharp. Do you want me to call you Pud or
that
John?
Sounds great. That's how most people know me.
Good. And Jennifer, you want to explain who you are, what you do, what your title is at CSET?
Oh, my name, my title is the Assistant Director for the Center for Cultural and Ecotourism, which is a subdivision of the Center for Louisiana Studies. And basically, we do programming and outreach and assist with research and administrative oversight in the different, the other different branches of the Center for Louisiana Studies. Oh, and grant writing, lots of grant writing.
Mm-hmm. And Pud, what do you do?
I am the Assistant Director for Research at the Center for Louisiana Studies.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm over the archive of Cajun and Creole folklore, of which Chris Segura is our archivist. And I'm also over the Colonial Records Project, which is the microfilm collection.
Okay. So the Cajun and Creole archives, where we pull some of the music for this program from, are housed in the Center for Cultural and Ecotourism, also known as CSET. So we're going to kind of give you a more concrete understanding of what CSET is today, I guess. Pud's working on a project, and you kind of want to explain to us about your film, what you're working on,
sure.
Where you're going?
It's a big project, and it is exploring the topic of the dance halls of South Louisiana. It's not just a film. It's I'm collecting as much information as I can get about every dance hall that, you know, there's been.
Ever existed.
Ever.
Yeah.
I currently have a list, and I think I've got about 380 dance halls.
Wow.
But one of the things that we're doing, we're collecting photos, oral histories, and we're also filming interviews about dance halls, and we're filming at dance halls, and we're filming dance halls, and we're filming places that used to be dance halls. It's kind of sad, but a lot of the places that are really well-known dance halls, when you go there, it's basically an empty lot, or it's a there may be a concrete pad, and that's all that exists.
Yeah. And how are you finding these people? Where are you getting this information to go find out about all these dance halls?
Just every time I turn around, somebody has some great lead.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to numerous people here at KRVS. Pretty much anyone that I talk to has a name of someone else that I should talk to.
Mm-hmm.
So I just follow those leads and see where they take me.
So where are you at right now? Are you still doing research? And when are you going to put... How close are you to the film coming out, I guess, is what I...
Well, I got the... It's called the 2012 Louisiana Filmmakers Grant,
mm-hmm.
Which is for the calendar year 2012. And so at the end of the year, there will be some version of this film.
Okay.
But as of right now, I mean, I'm still finding great resource material, in writing and oral histories, and even some film clips.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely still filming. It's a big project, and we've done a lot, but there's a lot to go.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Have you heard some really interesting stories from these people who used to own the dance halls?
Or? Sure. We've heard some great stuff that we couldn't even talk about here on the radio.
That you can't talk about?
Yeah.
Lots of stories.
lots of great stories about the people that played there and the people that went there, people meeting, couples meeting. You know, the number of people who told me that their grandparents met at some dance hall and were married at a dance hall, or were their after party,
mm-hmm.
you know, at a dance hall. We've heard stories about people dying at dance halls.
Fighting, yeah.
Lots of fights.
You played Johnny Allen's story on a past show about when he was at a dance hall and the he didn't want to dance with a woman,
mm-hmm.
And he kept trying to say no and push her, let her know he wasn't interested. And finally, her boyfriend came up and told him he did the right thing, and then proceeded to beat her.
Yeah.
We've heard quite a few stories like that.
Yeah.
Stories about how they try to get people to stop drinking in the parking lot.
Oh yeah, those are some good ones.
Stories about
how did they go about that?
Lots of different ways, but they're mostly very unpleasant. Stories about what people would call the bullpen back in the old days, that a stag guy would have to be in until he went on the dance floor with a woman. Buying dances, paying, mm-hmm. For yourself and for your partner to dance, having just all manner of things, from the layout, the architecture of dance halls, the layout of dance halls, card games played at dance halls, house dances, a lot of great information.
Cool. Well, we're going to take a short break and listen to some music that comes from the Cajun and Creole Archives. One of the most, maybe one of the biggest, it's not the biggest collection, the Lomax collection, it's not the biggest one, is it?
It's, well, if considering the types of material that it houses, it is the largest collection of material dealing with Southwest Louisiana and its music and culture.
Mm-hmm.
But, a lot of what we have is copied elsewhere, like at the Library of Congress and other large repositories around the country. But there's also probably almost 50% of the material is stuff that's only in our archive, that was gathered by researchers here, mm-hmm. either from Louisiana or visiting here, and deposited only in our collection.
All right. Well, we're going to listen to some of that. We're going to start it off with some of my favorite singers out of that collection, the Hoffpower Sisters. They're going to do Je Vous Lucille.
Oh, toi, chérie, tu veux faire un joli rêve, c'est de sommeiller dans les bras ton air. J'ai pris les chats et les rois des blues, plus pour ça, la belle, plus moins les charmes, mon âme. On vient donner les clés de la prison, les clés de la prison. Baptiste, comment dis-tu dans les clés de la prison? J'ai quand des officiers, les accrochés dans le cou, les accrochés dans le cou. Cher mami, ils vont venir me chercher, mais ça ne fera soir. Mais oui, c'est pour me prendre, mais à 10h en nuit, mais à 10h en nuit. Cher mami, c'est ça qui me fait plus peine, c'est Dieu va voir ma mort. Aussi longtemps d'avance, aussi longtemps d'avance. Son père, mais qu'ils sont mis à genoux, nous arrachons les feux, nous arrachons les feux. Baptiste, comment t'es pu quitter, mais c'est pour t'en aller, mais d'être du grand prison. Cher pape, comment tu voulais faire, c'est quand des officiers étaient autour de moi, avec les carabines, avec les carabines. Cher mame, ce qui fait plus de peine, c'est de savoir ma mort, aussi longtemps d'avance, aussi longtemps d'avance. Oh, mamie, ils vont venir me chercher, mais ça ne fera soir, mais oui, c'est pour me prendre, mais à 10h en nuit, mais à 10h en nuit. Cher mame, oui, c'est toi qui m'emmène, oui, mon corps au terre, avec mon beau de Falconel et ma belle voiture noire, avec les quatre roues, avec les quatre roues. Cher mame, oui, c'est toi qui m'emmène, oui, mon corps au terre, avec mon beau Falconel et ma belle voiture noire, avec les quatre roues, avec les quatre roues. Je demandais qui ce qu'il voulait, il dit à ma soeur, j'étais en prisonnier. J'ai demandé qui encore c'était, il dit à ma soeur, je vais voler des lames. J'ai répondu, il faut être prisonnier, mais j'ai encore des lames, ça serait la mienne.
That's all.
These songs have been sung by Alida Hofbauer, Mary Hofbauer, and Ella Hofbauer of 611 Street, New 611 Hopkins Street, New Iberia, Louisiana, for the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C.
Ma maîtresse, trois jours n'y a pas longtemps. Je m'ai fait une maîtresse, trois jours n'y a pas longtemps. C'est quand j'allais la voir, elle me versait à boire. C'est au milieu du verre, à ta santé la belle. C'est quand j'allais la voir, elle me versait à boire. C'est au milieu du verre, à ta santé la belle. Oh, je lui dis, belle, il faut cause des amours. Oh, je lui dis, belle, il faut cause des amours. Pour cause des amours, je suis encore trop jeune. Entendez-moi, Zunan, vous serez mon amant. Pour cause des amours, je suis encore trop jeune. Entendez-moi, Zunan, vous serez mon amant. Son père qui était en porte, qu'entend ce discours-là. Son père qui était en porte, qu'entend ce discours-là. Ma fille, Marilia, galant, retire-toi. Il a reçu des gages d'une autre manque que toi. Entouré de bonheur, sa jeunesse et sa vie. Va, va, enfant chéri, car c'est pour ton bonheur. Car lui, je te unis, car lui, je te unis. L'oiseau quittera son nid pour des rivages lointains. Trop souvent sans de pluie, sans guide et sans soutien. L'oiseau qui trace son nid pour des rivages lointains. Trop souvent sans de pluie, sans guide et sans soutien. Plus heureux que l'oiseau, toi ma fille, oh chérie, tu vas dans les amours lointains de ta patrie. Va. Va, va, enfant chéri, car c'est pour ton bonheur. Car lui, je te unis, car lui, je te unis. Va, va, enfant chéri, car c'est pour ton bonheur. Car lui, je te unis, car lui, je te unis.
And that was Julien Hofbauer with Je bénis ma fille. And he did Je fête une maîtresse just before that. And we listened to a fiddle song, fiddle tune by Varis Connor, the Creole Waltz. And Un matin j'étais sur ma galerie by the Hofbauer sisters and Les Clés de la Prison. Sorry, my tongue isn't working, y'all. Couldn't get that word out. So If you're just joining us, we have Jennifer Ritter Guidry in here and John Pud Sharp, both here to talk about what CSET does, and Pud is talking about his film that he's doing right now, working on, researching for, about dance halls, and he said the projected date of some sort.
I would say early next year there should be something.
Early next year there should be some sort of film, whether it's finished or not. You'll finish it after that. Right. I guess you just have a deadline.
You know, I was just thinking because you played the, you had somebody from New Iberia.
Yes.
The Half-Hour Sisters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, Varis Connor from Port Arthur, mm-hmm. right? So I was just thinking about that, about the places. No, Lake Arthur. I was just thinking about the places, the clubs that were mm-hmm. there. And one of the things, since we are on the radio, I'd like to make it known that, you know, I think it would be great if I got some people calling me or sending me emails about places that they frequented, or, you know, if you have some old pictures or stories, say maybe your grandparents or, you know, your parents or yourself from different places,
mm-hmm.
That for people to please call and talk to me about it. I would really appreciate that.
And how can they reach you?
My phone number in my office is 337-482-1320.
Mm-hmm.
And my email address is johnsharp@louisiana.edu. And there's no E on Sharp, Sharp.
At louisiana.edu. Cool. So I was going to ask you a question, but I kind of forgot. Y'all did an In Your Own Backyard series on the dance halls? Was that kind of incorporated into this, the Rod Bernard and Johnny Allen one, or did y'all do a separate one? I can't remember.
No, that was with, that was about...
It was in July.
Yeah, that was in July. That was Eugene Manuel mm-hmm. from Mamou and Lawrence Patton from Brobridge. And they own Eugene Manuel's father, T. Ed Manuel, owned many bars in Mamou over the years. But some of the bars that he owned were the French Casino, Manuel's Bar, which is downtown, and the Holiday Lounge. And Lawrence Patton owns La Poussière mm-hmm. in Brobridge. So a lot of family knowledge, generational knowledge, and talked about what it's like to work in a dance hall, what it's like to grow up in a dance hall. So very interesting.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Yeah, both men said that they started off at a very young age working in the dance halls, doing, you know, the least desirable jobs like cleaning the bathrooms and picking up cigarette butts in the parking lot and things like that, and eventually move their way up into, you know, managing and working the door and bartending, and then eventually taking it over from their fathers.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting process of, you know, generational history and through music too. Because they both had pretty strong opinions about what kind of music was played in their mm-hmm. their venues. Eugene Manuel is a serious lover of French music, and the Holiday Lounge is still open upon it, you know, occasionally on the weekends and stuff. But
7 days a week.
Oh, it's 7 days a week, not occasionally, all the time. Excuse me. And he still likes to sneak in some French music when he thinks no one's paying attention. Lawrence Patin is pretty, their main focus through most of the history of La Poussière was traditional Cajun music, mm-hmm. and they've now expanded it to incorporate Creole music and some Zydeco, but they are still pretty selective about the kinds of music that they host at La Poussière.
Yeah. So what got you interested in dance halls to begin with?
Well, Chris Segura and I one day, and Chris is the archivist at the Archive of Cajun Creole Folklore. One day when I was in grad school, we were talking about the names of songs, and there's songs that you hear, you know, a lot of people play, Hicks Wagon Wheel Special, Triangle Special. And we were talking about the fact that these, you know, a lot of people, probably younger people or people like myself who moved in from somewhere else, mm-hmm. they may not realize that these songs are named after these great clubs, these dance halls that were, you know, just extremely well known and very, you know, a big part in many people's lives. But they're gone. Mm-hmm. And the only one of the only things that people know are those songs. Mm-hmm. And we started to try to find photographs online of these places. And one of the ones that we had luck finding was the China Ball Club. But the more we put together a little list just in a few minutes, and we couldn't find photographs. We were saying what a tragedy it was that these things could just fade from memory and mm-hmm. be gone. And so we said, hey, we should do something about that. That would be a cool project.
Yeah, because they're such, and they were such an important part of the community, you know, the binding of the community where people met, like courting. They courted there, right? You know?
Sure.
And that, would you say that was one of the most central places for that?
At a certain time frame, mm-hmm. definitely so. And even before that, house dances mm-hmm. Were particularly when, you know, French was the predominant language, and Acadian settlers, this was like the glue that would bind them together. They, you know, work really hard almost all the time, and then when they had a little time to socialize, this is what they did.
Yeah.
Different from church socialization.
I'm sorry, what, Jennifer?
Yeah, it was different from church socialization. It provided a different context for it, and it wasn't, you know, it was still monitored, and you know, there were chaperones and everything, but it allowed them to kind of move in different circles, and that they could dance together, and they were talking about things that were interesting to them. They weren't talking about religious topics. They weren't talking about what, you know, even when they were out in the fields together trying to bring in a harvest all together, that they were so focused on the task at hand that they weren't really focusing on developing relationships that might lead to marriage and growing families and things like that. So the dance halls and prior to that, the house dances were very important in creating that kind of social sphere that was purely indulgent and social.
Yeah. Yeah. So since they're disappearing, where is all of that community action taking place, do you think, nowadays? And how has it affected the community that central element has changed?
That's a great question. And that's part of that is sort of what we're exploring and one of the questions that we're asking mm-hmm. people. But in all different sorts of places, I would say. And I think for some people, church is one of those places. But obviously there are some things that go on in the dance hall that don't go on at church. So I'm not sure where where that's happening.
Yeah.
Well, and you also we've been talking about also the kinds of temporary dance hall situations, like festivals and things like that.
Mm. Right. Thanks, Jennifer. That the situation where more of a festival situation in the idea of festival being something that it's beginning. It begins and has a certain end and, you know, marked by sometimes drinking, costumes, all that. The idea of the temporary dance hall, that a parking lot turns into a dance hall mm-hmm. or it's, I think that, you know, I like that idea and I think that's interesting.
Yeah, and we have them often enough to keep the community together.
That's true.
All right, cool. Well, I guess we're going to listen to some more music now. And then we'll talk to Jennifer about what's going on with CSET in general. I can't wait to see the film. Do you have a name for it yet, just in case people...
The working title of the film right now is just Dance Halls of South Louisiana.
Okay. All right. And how can people find out where they can see it, when they can see it? When will the official news come out?
When it happens, we'll try to make sure that it's everywhere. But one of the things also that I didn't mention is that there's a Facebook page, and it's Dance Halls of South Louisiana. And if you just go there and like it, you can be a part of the discussion, see some photos that we take when we go out to do field work. I haven't put up any video clips, but just a little information here and there, and people talk about places, and it's a place to exchange information.
Yeah. So again, if you have any information, stories, pictures, or a dance hall that you would like to talk to Pud about, you can reach him on his phone in his office at 337-482-1320, or you can email him at johnsharp@louisiana.edu, or you can go to the Facebook page, and it is titled Dance Halls of South Louisiana.
And you know, something else that's a turn of events in the dance hall scene is this upswing of a dance hall as a restaurant and dance hall.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think at one time people thought that these were for, a tourist crowd. But over time, they've become a staple with tourists and locals alike.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with local bands playing there and, you know. So that's something else that we're looking at that I think is interesting.
Yeah, it is. I'd like to know more about the information you get from that, those excursions.
Yeah. When I first started going out in the field with Pud to shoot and things like that, I wasn't really expecting to see restaurants attached to the dance halls. But I just hadn't thought about it enough, but it makes sense. You know, even when I go out at the end of the night, I'm hungry and I end up at a diner or somewhere like that. But you know, the dance hall owners and operators were so resourceful. Some had rooms available for the night, or we can talk about that some other time, as well as restaurants. You know, they knew how to keep people there and how to keep people spending money at their venues. And they were very, very clever and shrewd in developing the side businesses for it. I mean, we were at the Southern Club a few weeks ago, and their restaurant was, you know, off on the side, and you would walk past it without even thinking about it. But it had the most lovely decor of puzzles.
Right, jigsaw puzzles.
Jigsaw puzzles, yeah. The owner's wife would sit there and man the door, and when it was slow, she would put together puzzles, and then they would eventually get glued together and hung on the wall. So it made for a very interesting and random artwork.
Yeah, I can imagine. There's a lot of different kinds of puzzles. Did she pick a theme?
No.
No, just
puzzles.
There'd be a Vegas next to kitties.
Well, and, you know, this idea, like Jennifer said, the Southern Club in Opelousas is one of the few larger halls still standing that had that. But this was pretty common back in the day. Mm-hmm. Even at house dances that people charged money to get into, they made food to sell. So it's a long-standing tradition, you know, mm-hmm. as well as places to play cards and
gossip.
Gamble. So
cool. All right, well, thank you, Pud. I know you gotta run, but thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me,
talking
Megan.
To us. I can't wait to see the movie. I'm excited.
Thanks.
All right, we're gonna listen to some music. While Pud scoots out, we're going to go to Miss Luneta Como, who is another one of my favorite singers that I've found in the archives. And we're going to start off with Je t'ai né en automne.
Je suis née, je n'ai vu dans l'automne. Ma mère est morte, mon père a pris soin de moi. Il me disait qu'il allait m'élever dans tous ces grands plaisirs du monde. Il me disait qu'il allait m'élever dans tous ces grands plaisirs du monde. À l'âge de 14 ans, mon père me met à l'école. Il me faisait écrire Elisabeth. Il me faisait écrire Elisabeth. Oui, c'est cabaretier, je ne sais vos héritiers. À 25 ans, mon père me mariait avec une fille qui avait beaucoup de bien. Elle me demande quoi j'allais faire son bien. Oui, je n'ai répondu, salvez-vous comme tout le mien. Oui, je demande quoi j'allais faire son bien. Oui, je n'ai répondu, salvez-vous comme tout le mien. À 60 ans, j'étais sur l'île de la mort. Je l'ai mourir, je l'ai mourir. Mettez ma tête en bas d'une caisse de bière et mes pieds en bas d'une caisse de pompe. Je suis au lac délaissé qui pleure en nuit et jour. Il a fallu que tu viennes aîner empoisonner mon cœur. Je suis au lac délaissé qui pleure en nuit et jour. Il a fallu que tu viennes aîner mon cœur. Quand tu t'auras rendu la belle de ces éloignements, tu verras des jolies brunes saines qui va te charmer votre cœur. Quand tu t'auras rendu la belle de ces éloignements, tu verras des jolies brunes saines de sa main bonne.
Si vaillante fut, mais c'est tellement dispensé, c'est attrapé des pros. Je mariais une ouvrière, moi qui était si vaillante fut, mais c'est tellement dispensé, c'est attrapé des pros. Mais qui ton ouvrier, je viens t'en danser avec moi. On vient à danser avec moi, de sur les cordes du Tennessee. Mais qui ton ouvrier, viens à danser avec moi. On vient à danser avec moi, de sur les cordes du Tennessee.
record du Tennessee, record t'aurais pour m'entretenir, record t'aurais pour m'entretenir, c'est le record du Tennessee. Je n'ai de ces gros navires, aucun navire dessus l'eau, et soi-disant pour composer de travailler. Je n'ai de ces gros navires, aucun navire dessus l'eau, et soi-disant pour proposer de travailler. En bout de trois jours et trois semaines, oh la belle s'est mise à pleurer l'ennui de sa famille. En bout de trois jours et trois semaines, oh la belle s'est mise à pleurer l'ennui de sa famille. Ne pleure donc pas la belle, je t'ajouterai une robe de saujon, qui sommet la couleur de l'or et de l'argent. Ne pleure donc pas la belle, je t'ajouterai une robe de saujon, qui sommet la couleur de l'or et de l'argent. Je pleure donc pas ton or, ni ton or, ni ton argent. Mais je pleure ma famille que j'ai laissée là-bas. Je pleure donc pas ton nom, ni ton nom, ni ton argent. Mais je pleure ma famille que j'ai laissée là-bas. C'est pas toujours de la belle, c'est quand ce bâtiment calerait. Oh, il aurait un calais, a pu jamais ressourcer. C'est pas toujours dit la baie, et quand ce bâtiment cadré, oh, il aurait calé, ça plus jamais le sou. C'est sur les corps du Tennessee, t'embrasserais ton cher petit bébé, oh, tu l'embrasserais, ça plus jamais le roi. C'est sur les corps du Tennessee, t'embrasserais ton cher petit bébé. Quand tu l'embrasserais, à plus jamais le voir.
Dennis Vincent, Cindy Richard, Captain Louisiana.
À quoi il vous deux sur la tête, 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 enfin du, ça savait, oui, ça t'est meilleur que toi. Levez-vous dessus vos pieds, saluerez qui vous plaira, et ça sera lui qui va s'asseoir dessus la tête. Assoyez-vous dessus la tête, tête, enfin du, ça savait, oui, ça t'est meilleur que toi. Levez-vous dessus vos pieds, saluerez qui vous plaira, et ça sera lui qui va s'asseoir dessus la tête. Auparavant de s'en aller, qu'il faut rire, qu'il faut rire. Auparavant de s'en aller, qu'il faut rire et s'amuser. Jeune demoiselle, entrez dans l'an, saluerez qui vous plaira. Ça, c'est celui qui va rentrer, auparavant, auparavant. Ça, c'est celui qui va rentrer, auparavant, auparavant. Auparavant de s'en aller, qu'il faut rire, qu'il faut rire. Auparavant de s'en aller, qu'il faut rire et s'amuser. Jeune cavalier, entrez dans le rang, saluerez qui vous plaira. Ça, c'est celui qui va rentrer dans le rang et dans le rang. Ça, c'est celui qui va rentrer dans le rang et dans le rang. C'est ça? La belle s'en va, c'est au jardin d'amour. C'est pour passer une semaine. La belle s'en va, c'est au jardin d'amour, c'est pour passer une semaine. Et son papa, qui était rempli de peine, et son amant, qui était je vois venir de sa table et dans ses mains des gants de laine. Il en a une de sa table et dans ses mains des gants de laine.
That was Miss Luneta Como, my girl, from the Lomax Collections in 1934. That was La Belle S'en Va, C'est au Jardin d'Amour. And she sang Assoirez-vous dessus la terre and Auparavant de s'en aller. And just before her was Lanez Vincent and Sidney Richard with J'ai marié un ouvrier. And Varis Connor with the Lake Arthur Shuffle. It's a long little set, but we're back. And we're back with Miss Jennifer Ritter-Guidry. And Jennifer, it's been about a year and a half, I guess, since you've been on the show talking about what's going on at CSET and the archives in general. And I know recently you had Archive Aid 9.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was successful?
Oh, yeah. It was a great night. We had 270 people come through the door. And we made 4 pots of jambalaya on site and kept people fed throughout the evening. There were 5 trays of bread pudding also.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I didn't even get to try the bread pudding. I was really disappointed about that because I heard it was amazing. But I was running around too much trying to coordinate the 2 stages and make sure that the radio broadcast went well. And we're really grateful to KRVS for live streaming that for us. It was a lot of fun, and I know a lot of people who couldn't join us that evening were able to listen online and still get some of the experience. So it was a lot of fun. And we still have T-shirts and stuff like and other merchandise available from the event if anybody's interested.
Cool. And if they're interested, where are you located? How can they reach you?
We're over here on the 3rd floor of Dupre Library on the UL campus. We are just to the left of the Louisiana room and across the hall from the Center for Louisiana Studies offices.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. So what's going on right now besides?
Well, we've got the 2 CDs that are coming out at Festivals Acadien at Creole. And I know you played some tracks from, I don't know if you played from both of them. Or
just from the Balfa family.
Oh, the Balfa family, yes. Retrospective. That's, which is amazing. And I love talking about that particular project because it has such variety and texture, and it really demonstrates the breadth of the kinds of materials that we have in the archives.
Mm-hmm.
When people listen to it, it's not pristine, it's not studio quality, because it was live festival performances. And depending on the year of the song or that particular track, it could have been recorded onto reel-to-reel or a 2-track VHS tape.
Mm-hmm.
Or a DAT tape, or you know, a more modern hard drive type module, so that you get various kinds of preservation, and it really demonstrates what we do and the different levels of difficulty it is to access, find, preserve, and then, you know, turn around and present this kind of stuff to everybody.
Yeah, I haven't heard the Festival Acadien CD. Which year is that from?
The live. That's not the live 1981. And that's a fun story too. It's we found the masters. We thought that they'd been lost in a fire out at Swallow Records.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were cleaning up the archive, the back office, we came across the masters, and they were in pretty good shape. We had to bake them in a dehydrator, and then Ivan Klisanen helped us engineer them and remaster them. And then we were able to do a companion CD using the original playlist and, show people other songs from those performers at that same festival. And then the other CD we have coming out this year is Bill Bolin's Presents Festivals Acadien, and that's 1991 through 1997. And it's a great story. He, at the time, was not able to come to the festival, and so he was listening to it at home from the radio, and he recorded onto VHS tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was generous enough to share those tapes with us and allow us to use them in both his CD and in the Balfa retrospective.
Yeah, that's the one I was referencing. I've played the 1981 one here, but
yeah.
So from the early 90s, cool. And if that name sounds familiar to you, Bill Bolens, he is one of the producers of Dirty Rice that you hear often on KRVS.
Yeah, Saturday evenings.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I like listening to that.
Yep, he has some good music. What else is going on?
Well, aside from the CDs, we are moving forward with a lot of events. We still host our monthly backyard series at Vermilionville on the second Tuesday of every month. The upcoming topic on October 9th is beekeeping in Acadiana.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. In talking with Emily Neustrom, who's helping coordinate and is going to be presenting along with the Acadiana Beekeepers Group, I discovered that there's two types. You can be an organic beekeeper or a regular beekeeper, and you know, there's some debate over who, you know, but amongst them as to the right ways to raise bees and cultivate honey and things like that. So I'm really looking forward to it. I've always been fascinated with the suits that they wear and everything like that. And, mm-hmm. you know, you have to have very little fear to deal with a lot of stinging insects, in my opinion. So
yeah.
I can't wait to meet them and hear more about their experiences with beekeeping. And then we're also doing some fun things, like we're launching the Bayou Teche Paddle Trail in partnership with the Teche Project and the National Park Service. And that will be unveiled later on in October, but it's playing a large part in the Tour de Teche, which is an adventure race on the Bayou Teche held the first weekend of October. So that's coming up real soon also. And then we have some various other events, including historic bridges inventory meeting that we're hosting over at the Southside Regional Library next Wednesday, October 3rd. Or this Wednesday, October 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting my days mixed up.
Yeah, it's okay.
I kept thinking today was Friday. It's not. That's going to be really, it's a project spearheaded by the Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development and the State Historic Preservation Office. And it's basically to develop a process to manage and preserve these valued resources. And I just have to say, I've looked in the course of working on the Paddle Trail project and some of the other things that I've done, I've had a chance to go out and look at some of these old bridges. And some of them were built across the bayou because that was the only way to transport the sugar from the crops from the field mm-hmm. to the market. If they couldn't get them down the waterway, they had to get them back onto a roadway. And so these little one-lane bridges solely for that purpose were created. And they're still in service now as people use them to get from one side of the bayou to the other.
Wow.
And there's different ways, like, you know, that some of them swing so that they can allow access to boats.
Boat traffic.
Yeah, and things like that. And there's various ways that they open up or turn or get out of the way of boats and stuff like that. So it's really,
wow.
It's neat. And bridges are just beautiful structures. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And I think we'll get a lot of interesting information for both the archives as well as LODTD, DOTD.
And that'll be October 3rd?
October 3rd. At the Southside Regional Library here in Lafayette at 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Yeah.
Cool. That sounds fun.
Yeah. And we have a Facebook event through the Center for Louisiana Studies Facebook page. So you can go to it. If you can't make it, there's forms that you can access and fill out and return to us so that we can still get your information, even though you aren't able to join us that evening. And then we've got a few other things going on. We have a visiting historian coming in right before Festival Acadien at Crail. He's coming in from Canada. Marcel Pronovost is his name, and he is a direct descendant of a fur trader who is believed to be the first European to have been buried in the future state of Louisiana in the year 1702.
Wow.
Yeah, that's... I don't know how... I guess that's a lofty claim.
Yeah.
I'm sure he didn't feel that way when it was happening, but Mr. Provenos has done extensive research, and he has written a historical fiction account of Matthew Riard and his wife, Jean Guillette. And they settled the Trois-Rivières region of Quebec. Mm-hmm. And he got her set up there and, you know, plowed the fields and planted them. And then he took off to supplement their income by being a fur trader. Mm-hmm. And he had a real taste for adventure. And so Mr. Provenos has used lots of historical documents to flavor the story and to provide really interesting, accurate information about what he encountered and, you know, the political situation at the time, you know, the Native American tribes that he encountered, skirmishes with English soldiers and things like that. And he was traveling south and into the Louisiana Territory because he was looking for a better place for his family to relocate. And so, yeah, and he died at the very young age of like 52 or 54.
Wow.
So that talk, The Life of a Coureur de Bois, Matthew Riard, will be on Wednesday, October 10th at 3:30. And then I'll be here on campus at the Edith Garland Dupré Library upstairs on the third floor near us at the Ernest Gaines Center.
That should be really interesting.
Yeah. You know, and we do a lot of these things, and we really pride ourselves on making sure that this information sharing is as free and open as possible. Mm-hmm. These events that I've just named are all free events. We encourage people to come out and contribute to the conversation. And if they can't do it in person, we try and make sure that there are ways for them to submit their comments or questions or reflections, yeah, you know, electronically or other method, you know, some other method as well.
Yeah. So if our listeners didn't have a pen or a paper to write all of that down, can they visit a website to find?
Yes, we'll have all of the information posted on the CSET website, cset.louisiana.edu, and we'll also make sure it's on the Center for Louisiana Studies website, which is cls.louisiana.edu. And in this wonderful age of social media, both centers have Facebook pages, and the events are listed on the Center for Louisiana Studies page.
Okay, and so the names of the two Facebook pages, Center for Louisiana Studies
and Center for Cultural and Ecotourism.
Okay.
And don't forget about John's Dance Halls of South Louisiana page, because yes, it's been really instrumental in helping us gather information.
Yeah. Sounds good. Thank you for joining me today. I can't wait to attend all of the events coming up.
Oh, I'm going to hold you to that, Megan.
All right.
Thank you.
We're going to go out with a couple songs, one by Varis Connor, the Goodnight Waltz, and then the Homage a Varis by the Lost Bayou Ramblers. Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Thanks, Megan.
And have a great rest of the day, everyone, and a great weekend. Don't forget, you can go to the website, kvs.org, to get a podcast of this show or a playlist. You've been listening to KRVS 88.7. Stay tuned. See you next week.